Well, good morning. It is a pleasure to have you here on, June, what is it today? The 14th. Okay. By the way, ladies, do you know what next week is? Father's Day. All right. So, ladies, just, you have a father in your life? This is a, well, whatever. We'll move on. It is a pleasure to have you with us this morning. We're going to jump right into things because we're going to do another thing at the end of the service that's very important. And we're going to jump in with what I call a mini review quiz. A mini review quiz, meaning that if you were here last week, this is for you. If you weren't here last week, just raise your hand quickly. Guess what? You don't have to take the quiz. Doesn't that sound good? Well, thank God I wasn't here last week, okay? Let's just look at the quiz. The questions are on the screen ahead of me. Question number one of three questions: what is the purpose of life? Why do we exist? Can somebody answer that question for me? What's the purpose of life? To what? To glorify God. You guys are on the ball. Isaiah 43, verse 7 makes it clear that we were created to bring glory to God, to point people. Through our actions, we're pointing people to Him and His greatness and His splendor, and we're giving Him great praise, okay? Question number two is, how can we glorify God? Does anybody remember that? How do we glorify God? Abiding in the vine, we bear fruit, okay? Look at what Jesus says in John 15:8. He says, when you produce much fruit, He says, this brings what? Great glory to my Father. It brings glory to God when we live lives that produce fruit. You say, well, what does that mean? That's question number three, and I don't expect you to answer this because it's a lengthy answer. And what is fruit? Fruit represents good works such as positive thoughts, attitudes, your words, your actions, those things that please God. And that's how we're supposed to live. You and I were created to glorify God, and the way that we glorify God is by living lives of fruitfulness. It's very important that we remain faithful, okay? So the question this morning is, how does this happen? How can we live lives that produce fruit? Well, Jesus, the good news is He addresses this whole issue in John chapter 15. So if you want to grab your Bible, if not, there's a Bible in the pew rack and right in front of you. Find the fourth gospel in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Jesus addresses this issue of how we bear fruit, because I believe that we are people who desire to glorify God. I am naive enough to believe that for every one of us, that we want to be people that we want to glorify God. And the way we do that is by living lives that bear fruit. We need to be fruitful people in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions. We need to be fruitful. So how do you do that? Well, last week we began this journey of John 15. This passage of Scripture is what is called a parable. It's called an allegory. And Jesus gave us three important foundational thoughts that we need to build on. We're going to look at those on the screen real quick. Three points of discovery. Number one, we discovered last week that Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the vine. It says right there in verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine. And we discovered last week that the vine is the trunk of the plant that grows out of the ground. And it's from there that the branches come from, is from the vine, the trunk, which is usually about waist high, and the branches go from the vine. Number two, last week we found out that the Father, who is God, the Father is what? Everybody together, the gardener, okay? He says there in verse 1, He says, I am the true vine, and my Father, Jesus' Father is God, is the gardener. And the gardener has one simple task, and his task is to make sure that the branches produce as much fruit as possible. That's what the gardener is all about, making sure that the branches are producing fruit, okay? Then the third discovery last week is that you and I, all those who have said yes to Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, those who are disciples, followers, you and I are what? We're the branches. Jesus says in verse 5, yes, I am the vine, and He's looking at His disciples right before the cross, and He's looking at us, and He's saying, hey, you are the branches, okay? And the branches are really the focus in the vineyard, because it's from the branches that the fruit is produced. The fruit that does what? The fruit that brings glory to the Father in heaven, okay? So we're going to start there. And what we need to make sure, one thing I want to just back up and say is this. In order for us to live lives that produce fruit, there's one thing that we need, or a couple things that we need to be very careful of. Number one, if you're going to live a life that bears fruit, the first thing you need to do is you need to stay connected to the vine, meaning that you and I need to stay connected to Jesus. Throughout this verse, Jesus uses the word abide, abide, abide. A better translation is this: remain close, remain close. If you're going to live a fruitful life, you got to remain close to Jesus. That's just the way it is. And the second thing you need to do, there's going to be times, and we're going to look at this morning, there's going to be times when the gardener is at work in your life. The gardener is going to be at work in your life, and you got to respond to the work of the gardener in your life, okay? But here's the thing. That's a daily choice that you need to make. It's a daily choice to stay close to Christ. You say, well, I've been a Christian for 30 years. Well, that's great, wonderful. I'm thankful for that. But the thought is that daily we got to remain close to Christ. Every day we got to abide, okay? And we need to make that a daily choice. And actually, if you read this whole parable, I think it's the first 17 verses of John chapter 17, you're going to see that Jesus talks about four different branches in this text. We're going to go through this really, really quick so we can get to the meat of where I want to go this morning. Branch one, he says, there's people that produce no fruit. No fruit. Look at verse 2. He says, every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. So there's branches that aren't producing fruit. Surveys across the country, they find out that 60% of church members who are asked, where do you feel like you're in this area producing fruit? 60% say, well, I don't really feel like I'm bearing any fruit in my life right now, okay? And we're going to talk about that this morning. Branch two is a branch that produces what? Everybody said together, fruit. And it says that, and it says this in verse two, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit. So yes, there's branches, number two, fruit. Branch number three is more fruit. Look at the end of verse 2. And he prunes the branches that bear fruit so they will produce even more. And then branch 4 is the goal for all of us. It's the goal for all of us who are serious about following Jesus. And that is what? That we would produce much fruit. Everybody say that together. Much fruit. Don't raise your hand, but think to yourself this morning, where am I at? Am I no fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit? Then ask yourself this question, where do I want to be? Where do I want to be? And I would think there's just a lot of people here today that say, you know what? Right now, I want to be a person. I want to go after God, and I want to glorify God with my life. I really want to glorify God, the true purpose of my life, and I want to bear much fruit, okay? So what I want to do today is I want to focus on verse 1 because it's a big part. It's a major part of a lot of Christian circles, okay? And that is today we're going to focus on this first branch, the barren branch. We're going to focus on the branch that's bearing no fruit, okay? And the question that we're going to ask this morning and answer is, how does God the gardener deal with the branch that's not bearing fruit for an extended period of time? We're not just talking about, well, I had a bad week, I didn't bear fruit. No, we're going to look at the branch that hasn't borne fruit for maybe months, years. And we're going to look at how the gardener responds to that type of person. How does the gardener take us from bearing no fruit to fruit? So to answer this question, have your Bible right there. Let's look at verse 2. John 15, verse 2. Jesus says these words, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Can we read that verse together out loud? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. I grew up in church. I grew up reading that verse. And to be honest with you, I fell into the camp of a lot of scholars who believe that this verse means that if we don't bear fruit, were we really ever a Christian? Or there's another camp that says, this word takes away means if you persist in a life that's not bearing fruit, it's possible that you've lost your salvation, okay? And you can lose your salvation because you're not bearing fruit. That's kind of the camp I grew up in. And as I studied the verse this week, with a lot of help from people who have just a lot more experience than I do, I found out that that's not the case at all. It's not about if we can lose our salvation. It's not about whether we were ever a Christian at all. So what does this verse mean? Okay, you need to realize, you need to look back at the verse, and that one phrase in the verse is this. Every branch, look at the next two words, in me. So he's saying this branch is what? In me. And throughout the Bible, you're going to see that Jesus refers to believers. He describes believers as what? In Christ. So what a lot of good, solid Bible people believe is that Jesus is saying this, that you can be a Christian. You can be in Christ, and yet there can be a season in your life where you're not bearing fruit at all. I want you to think about that. Okay? So there's just some branches that bear no fruit for a season. Let's talk about why that may be. Please, let's just kind of settle our hearts in. Just really be transparent between you and the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about your neighbor. Hey, are you listening? You haven't borne fruit for years. No, you worry about you, okay? Let's just talk about some reasons why people don't bear fruit for a season in their life. I got three reasons. Number one, fruitfulness is often hindered because we choose to remain in a certain sin. I'm not talking about, well, this week you told a white lie and now you're cut off, no fruit. I'm talking about people who choose a lifestyle. I'm talking about Christians who have chosen a lifestyle of sin. And I'm not going to be up here pointing out a bunch of different lifestyles that you may be falling into, but you've made this one sin. It may be you are just totally negative. It may be that you've fallen into a sin of being judgmental, critical, full of lust. It could be 1,001 different sins. But for some reason, you have not broken free of that sin. And you're remaining in that pattern of sin. It's become a lifestyle. Yeah, on Sunday I go to church, I sing the songs, I listen to a message. But through the week, you've fallen into a sinful lifestyle. I want to let you know that can cut off fruitfulness in your life. What we need to do, and we're going to come to the table of the Lord this morning, and we're going to look at a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about when you come to the table of the Lord, examine yourself. And this is a time to say, Lord, is there a sinful pattern in my life? Is there just something I continue, I just can't let go of? It's my favorite pet sin. And Lord, I need that lust in my life that feeds me. I need that critical. I'm just critical and I'm not going to. We need to cut that out so that we can begin to bear fruit again, because that's how we're going to bring glory to God. And you know what you're doing is against what God would have you to do, but you just say, God, you'll excuse me this one time. Aren't I living under grace anyway? And folks, I just want to say with the heart of a pastor, for myself and for all of us, we need to cut out those lifestyles of behavior that are sin, that are keeping us from Christ, from abiding and bearing fruit. It's not what God wills for us. Number two, fruitfulness, and this is a big one in our culture today. Fruitfulness can be hindered if we focus on, say the word together, riches and this world. We can become fruitless because we are so focused on everything other than on Jesus. In the Bible, Jesus tells the parable of the sower and the seed, and he talks about four different types of soil. And I want to read one verse, Matthew 13, verse 22, that will help us this morning. Jesus talks about the seed that fell among the what? The thorns. That seed represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by what? Everybody say it together. The worries of this life. Then he goes on to say, and the lure of what? Wealth. And look at what he says there at the end. It's amazing to me. As a result, no fruit is produced. I'm here today to tell you that our primary passion as a believer should be to follow Christ, to remain close. But there's times when the lure of wealth, the worries of this life, and all the things that are going on can become so humongous and so much bigger than Jesus that as a result, it can keep us from bearing fruit. And you say, well, not me. Well, I'm going to say that's happened to me. It's not been the lure of wealth, but for me, it's been the worries of life. All the other things that come my way, and sometimes that's the thing that keeps me. I want to say this, even the anxiety about growing a church and being a healthy church can be a distraction in my walk with Christ. Are you hearing me this morning? Jesus is to be our primary affection. Don't allow the lure of wealth, the worries of life, that can keep you from bearing fruit that will bring glory to God. And here's the third one. Fruitfulness can be hindered if we just give in to apathy. Just apathy. I used to be on fire for God, man. I remember back 20 years ago, man. I was just in fuego. I was on fire for God. Jesus meant everything to me. But you know, that was 20 years ago. And today, I'm just gonna walk, maybe crawl to the finish line. Just that apathy that, you know, it's easier to go inside tonight and maybe watch a TV show. It's easier to do this than it is to abide in Jesus. And just sometimes the biggest enemy that keeps us from bearing fruit is just plain old apathy, where we just stop caring. And my call today for me and for all of us is that we just wake up and say, you know, if we're going to live lives that bring glory to God, we're going to have to bear fruit, and we're going to have to get rid of those sins. We're going to have to get rid of the focuses on the world and the riches. We're going to have to get rid of the apathy, and let's be a church full of people. Wouldn't it be cool if this was a church full of people and say, yay, God, we're going all out for you, Jesus. We're going to give it our best shot. We're going to stay close to you. None of these things are going to get in our way. We are going to glorify you. We're going to bear fruit, and everybody say, yay. Wow, that's impressive. That was just over. You almost knocked me off my stool here this morning. It's like the Packers just scored a touchdown, okay? Everybody say, yay.
Yay.
Okay, good. Come on over here. Somebody's getting Pentecostal on me over here. I heard a woo, okay. Okay. Here's what happens. God knows your life. He's not up in heaven on a hammock sipping lemonade. Kick back, uninvolved with the world. He knows what's going on. This is what blows me away. How can God know what's going on in 6.5 billion people's lives? He's God. He's amazing. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's God. And what happens is when he sees you and me falling into one of these traps where we're not bearing fruit, you know what he does? He gets involved in our lives. How many people know that God gets involved in your life when you're not bearing fruit because he what? He loves you. He doesn't want to see you become a vine that doesn't produce fruit. He says, no, I'm going to step out and I'm going to get involved in their lives because I want to see that branch go from no fruit to fruit. So God gets involved, okay? So let's look at the, how does God get involved? Let's look back at the text, verse 2. We're going to just cruise verse 2 today. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he what? He takes away. So in this verse, Jesus tells us the gardener takes away the branches that bear no fruit. Okay? And I want us to look at those two words, take away, because that's not a good, healthy translation in this passage. Okay? That word does not mean he cuts off. It actually means, if you go into the literal Greek, it means he what? He lifts up. I want everybody to say that, lifts up. Let me explain what I mean. Let's go to the natural realm of a vineyard, okay? When a gardener plants a grapevine and the branches begin to grow, What he does is he will keep a careful eye, a careful watch over the branches. And if one day he comes out and sees that the branch has fallen off the trellis and it's laying on the ground, I want to let you know at that moment, the gardener takes immediate action. And the reason why he takes immediate action is because if the branch remains on the ground, what will happen? It will get coated with dust, and when it rains, it will get muddy, and mildew will begin to form, and as the result, the branch will get sick, and the branch will become useless, and the branch will ultimately die, and as a result, the branch won't bear fruit any longer. So what does the experienced gardener do? Does he cut it off and throw it away? The answer is no, and the reason why the answer is no is because that branch has too much value. So what does the gardener do? And I'm hearing this from somebody who has this experience, not myself. What the experienced gardener will do is he'll get out a bucket of water, and he'll walk along, and he'll see those branches that have been fallen to the ground, and he'll get out his water when he finds a branch on the ground, and he'll take his water, and he'll begin to clean off those leaves. He'll do what? He's removing all the dirt from the leaves. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? He removes all the dirt. He cleans it all up, and then what he does is he lifts it up, and he puts it back on the trellis and ties it up again. And we're told that just in a very short time, the branch that was once sick is now healthy again. And once again, that branch is able to have the ability to do what? Bear fruit. So what does this look like in our life as we're following Jesus and we're not bearing fruit? Well, when God sees that in our lives, I want to let you know God doesn't just say, well, that's too bad. That branch will never bear fruit. No, God gets involved. God lovingly intervenes in your life, in my life, when we're not producing fruit. And what he does is he intervenes with a word that we don't like. It's called discipline. How many people love discipline? If you are, you're just sick, okay? Discipline, okay? Does discipline hurt the kid? Yes, it's not enjoyable for the kid. It's not enjoyable for the parent either. But we know that discipline is what? It's necessary. And so what God does is he gets involved and he begins a process that Hebrews talks about is a process of he begins to discipline us. And the discipline goes in stages. It goes from light to moderate to heavy. God begins lightly to discipline us, to get our attention. And I want to look at those three stages of discipline real quick. They're on the screen. Stage one is called God's light discipline. It's called a rebuke. Has anybody ever been rebuked by God before? About two of you. Been rebuked by God. I want to read a verse. 2 Timothy says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That's where we get the word rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped in every good work. This is how discipline works. It begins just by this light discipline. I can't tell you several thousand times in my life, not even to exaggerate, we'll say several hundred times, I've read the Word of God maybe in my Monday or my morning devotional time, and I've read something, and it hit me. There was a lifestyle beginning to develop of sin in my life, and as I read the Word, I started to feel what? Conviction. Has anybody ever been there before? You begin to read the Word of God, and you begin to see that this is the way God would want me to live, and I'm over here living this way, and God's showing me that he doesn't want me this way. He wants me living this way. And what he's doing gently as we're reading the Word of God is he's what? He's rebuking us. He's rebuking us. He's speaking to us. And he's saying, hey, I don't want you to live like that. you're not going to bear fruit if you continue to live this way. And you really need to start by repenting. And let's get back on track so that once again you can bear fruit. Another verse that speaks of this well is John 14:8. It says, "And when he is the Holy Spirit, has come, what will he do? He will convict the world of what? Sin, righteousness, and of judgment." I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit will say, "Mike, you know that's not right. You know you can't live that way. You know you're not going to be able to bear fruit. Mike, I'm going to give you this light discipline. Are you going to choose to respond and turn around? Let's get back on track." And I'm thankful for the light discipline of God. And there's times I want to let you know that I've ignored the light discipline of God. There's times when we've all ignored the light discipline of God and we move on to the next stage, which is God's what I'll call medium discipline, and it's called chastening, which is another word for correction. So it's a process where God just takes us. And I want to let you know the process could end early on if we would choose to repent and go back to the ways that we are know that are right. But if you don't, God loves you enough that he's going to keep disciplining you. He's going to keep disciplining you. And I have experienced chastening and correction in my life. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. It's on the screen. It says, "Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more, to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years. They did the best they knew how to do. But God's discipline is always," everybody say that word, "good." God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. And it's in this second stage of discipline that there's this emotional distress. I mean, just, man, nothing's going right. I just detect that there's something not quite right in my life. There's this emotional distress. I'm not at peace. I don't have any joy in my life. And I believe that God allows those times in my life to say, "Mike, will you turn back to me?" What do you think? "Mike, will you turn back to me? Will you remain connected to me, or am I going to have to keep disciplining you?" And I'm so thankful that God lovingly says, "You know what, I want to discipline you so you can get back into living a life of fruit." Then there's stage three, and I'm not sure if I've been here yet. I hope I never have to, but it's stage three is this heavy discipline that's called scourging. There's times where God just he's got to come around and he's got to scourge us. And the best use of that word is found in John 19:1-2. It says, "So then when Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put him on his head, and they put on him a purple robe," meaning that scourging was painful. It was painful for us, and there's going to be times when we're bearing fruit or not bearing fruit, and we've ignored the first two stages, and God just has to bring us to that place of scourging, and it's going to hurt. And by the way, I'm not talking about he throws nasty sicknesses and diseases. There's just a time when you're just, I think it's more internal. There's a breakdown in our lives. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a breakdown. And here's the reason why, and I want to repeat this, I just want to make this clear repeatedly today, is that God disciplines us because he loves us. He disciplines us because he wants to see us live a life that bears fruit. He wants to see us live a life that brings glory to him. So let's look at this. What is the result of all the scourging, of all the pain? Well, some people have asked, why would a loving God want to bring pain, even if it's in a small dose? Last verse of the day, Hebrews 12:11. Let's read this together. I believe it's on the screen. Everybody ready? Let's read it together. "No discipline seems to be joyful for the present, but what? Painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness." The whole process is God wants to bring us back to a place where we can go from no fruit to fruit. And in order for that to happen, there's going to be times a loving God steps in and says, hey. By the way, how many people experienced this growing up in a home? My dad was a disciplinarian. And if we were doing something wrong, it started with maybe just a... Does anybody remember that? Meaning what? What's that mean? Change your ways quickly. Then what happens if something didn't change? Hey, Mike, you're going to be cutting the grass for the next 2 months. You're going to be cutting the grass. What if that didn't change? Michael, we knew that's when it got serious. And this is what my mother did. Go up in your room and sit there. And when your dad gets home, he'll come and pay you a visit. I wish I would have listened to the... Because 5:30 on the nose, my dad was like clockwork. He would walk in that door. I could hear the conversation going on downstairs. Has anybody else grew up like this? Good for you. He'd walk up those steps and the door would open and you'd be like, what would you experience? Scourging. Was it because I hated my parents? No. Was it because they didn't like me? No. Why? They wanted me to be a certain type of young man. And if I ignored the other forms of discipline, God, my father, my earthly father, had to intervene, and there had to be some scourging. Here's the thing. My earthly father is flawed, doesn't know all the details. He loves, but it's not perfect love. But I have a Father in heaven who knows all things, who loves me unconditionally. He wants the best for me as he does for you. And I want to let you know, if there's a season in your life where there's a sin that's ongoing, you're chasing after the world, you're just apathetic, God will step in because he loves you. And he wants you to go from being no fruit to fruit. All so that we can live a life that brings glory to him. Amen. You received the word this morning.